Good evening. It's a privilege to share from those ancient words tonight. And even as that song was sung, I was thinking earlier how the Spirit of God uses the Word to change us if we allow Him. And it is up to us. It is largely up to us as to how we respond to the Word. That's our responsibility. As to how we respond to truth presented. And so I pray that would be true tonight of my heart. That if the Lord adds to this message what I've prepared, He would add to it as we go along. That the Holy Spirit would do that. That if the Holy Spirit stills me and stops me from saying something I've written down here, that He would do that also. Because it's all about Him and it's all for His glory. So let's pray. Let's ask His help as we come to the Word. Lord, we have sung and we pray that as we look at these ancient men of faith tonight, in particular Moses, Lord, that our heart would be stirred, that we would see the faith and the truth, Lord, the desire, the longing for You this man had. Father, we pray that tonight we would indeed let the ancient words impart to us our wisdom, truth and a changed walk with You, Lord. I thank You that every time we come to Your Word, it is able to do that. For You have said, Your Word will never return to You void. It will always accomplish the purpose set forth for it. And so we pray, Father, tonight. We pray for guidance through this Scripture as we look, Lord, and as we are amazed at Your works that You have done and the works You continue to do because of who You are. We pray, Lord, guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our text tonight is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. Been considering this series by faith, sort of a series within a series, as we look in Hebrews chapter 11. We considered Abel and Enoch and Noah. We considered Abraham. And in verse 23, we come to Moses. A patriarch, a man of faith. It was said that no man was as humble as Moses on the face of the earth, a man that spoke to God face to face. In Hebrews 11 and verse 23, I just want to take some verses there down to 28. We read, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We'll read so far. In this text tonight, I want to consider four aspects that made Moses a man of faith. Four aspects. And the first one we read in verse 23, that Moses had a godly upbringing. He had a godly upbringing. And that was in part, much in part to the prayer of his mother, who was no doubt a woman of faith. She didn't just see a beautiful child, a goodly child, as the old text says, but she saw God's potential and calling upon him. She saw something in the spirit, far beyond just the outward beauty. And she hid him for 3 months and then let him go upon the water. She no doubt prayed. Praying the Hebrew faith, the faith of the forefathers, while at the same time we see Moses being exposed more and more to the system of this world, growing up in Pharaoh's palace. And you know, you look at the godly mother, you look at Jochebed, who was no doubt a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, leaving this young child to the hands of the living God. And it says here that the parents, Moses' parents, were not afraid of the king's command. That takes courage. That takes faith. That takes much faith. We see that Moses is born into this lineage of faith through his parents' prayer. And though the world would soon expose itself, he would soon be exposed to the world, to the system of this world, which is Egypt, to the pleasures that are available in this world. He was soon exposed to this way of this world, growing up in the palace, education, religion, idol worship, financial prosperity, fleeting pleasure, the worship of the body in sport and in combat and so on and so forth. But we can learn a lot about faith from the parents of Moses. If you've read some accounts of persecuted believers, you perhaps know this one, that in North Korea, some praying mothers have seen their brainwashed sons and daughters come to Christ without even sharing a word of the gospel. Children that as young as three are brainwashed into this system, this corrupt system of the worship of man. They've seen their children come to the Lord. There was an account of a 20-year-old son who had come to the Lord in a miraculous way, and for the first time heard at age 20 that his mother had been praying for him. You know, the 3 and 4 and 5-year-olds in North Korea are taught to go back into their homes and to look for a black book. To look for a black book and to report that to the school, to report that to the teachers. You know, and so this mother, without a word of the gospel, without a word of Bible, by her conduct, by her life, by her prayer, saw a 20-year-old come to Christ in a miraculous way, and only for the first time at age 20 could she share with her son her faith. So God, he works in this way, with faithful parents, with praying parents. And in that godly upbringing, I see a great call to us who are parents, to not only take prayer and to take diligent service and fervent desire for the Lord, but to also instruct our children from the youngest of age. What a lesson for us parents. Yes, it's all of grace to see a child saved, but how much more we could do? How much can we do as parents? Give your child a head start. Give your child a head start. Moses, he was a man of faith, but he had a godly upbringing. He had a good head start. Even though the system of the world quickly surrounded him and the pleasures of the passing sins were there for him, he ends up choosing the Hebrew faith. He ends up choosing to follow God. And so give your child a head start by being a praying parent, by leading a godly lifestyle, and a faith that hands them and trusts them into the care of the Lord, trusting in His care to save their souls, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we see that Moses, a man of faith, had a godly upbringing. Secondly, we see here in this text that when he became of age, in verse 24 of our reading, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And so we see here that Pharaoh's system, the system of the palace, the system of the West and this world of prosperity is not it. It's passing on. It's passing away. It's fleeting. In 1 John chapter 2, we read these words from verse 15. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I went to Wentworth Falls yesterday and I enjoyed the view, I can assure you. I enjoyed the great beauty of where I live, and I hardly get out enough to enjoy it. But you see what God has created. It's not talking about that. This is talking about Pharaoh's system. This is talking about the idolatrous way of this world. Friends, the things that are in the world, we see that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, This was appealing to any young man, particularly Moses. There was the lust of the flesh, there was the lust of the eyes, and there was the pride of life. And all those things are not of the Father. All those things are of the world. They're of the world. And the world is passing away and its lust. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We have something to live for. We have something that's invisible that we live for. Yes, we see the visible creation of God. Yes, we see the visible changes in the life of a person who has been born again, a person that has come to Christ. We see the visible changes in a person who's laying there all on the altar and who God is moving within to lay down their life. We see those things. We see God. But we don't see Him face to face. We don't expose ourselves to God face to face. But we can seek Him in His Word. We can seek Him in prayer. We can seek Him in communion and abide in Him, though He is unseen. Though He is invisible, immortal, invisible, God only wise, that hymn in our hymn book. Immortal, invisible, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. What a beautiful hymn extolling the beauty of the Lord. So Moses, he grows up in this system, like we all are and like your children are, growing up in this system, this world. But he sees that this world does not come first, it's passing away. Why? Because he met with God. He met with God. He had an experience and he met with God. This world is passing away. He chose rather to suffer reproach. And our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you." And perhaps in this day and age where everything is acceptable, maybe Christians have a little bit more freedom. In this society at least. As long as you do not say your faith is the only way. As long as you don't make that point clear. That the way of Christ is the only way. That's where you'll be persecuted. If you go along with all the idols and all the ways, all the roads that lead to Rome, you'll be fine. You will not be reviled. You will not be persecuted. You will not be excluded. You will not be cast out. But there's coming a day. There is a day and coming a day when you are going to be seen as being a bigot, if you say, Jesus is the only way. He is the only way, the truth and the life. He is the only way to heaven. If you say that, you will be excluded. You perhaps have been already. You will be excluded from this world's thinking and this world's idolatry. If you say he is one of many gods, you'll be fine. If you say he is one of many ways, you'll be okay. But you see, he is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And Peter begs us. He begs us. His beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. We covered that in the series Pastor was sharing in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 11 of 1 Peter 2, Peter literally begs, he says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. We are passing through, this world is not our home. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Have your conduct honourable among the Gentiles. Moses chose to be reproached. It's going to get harder and harder. It's going to get harder and harder. Young people, listen. Young people who are at school, or if you're homeschooled, or if you're part of the world, part of any group. Wherever you are, do not deny the Lord Jesus as the only way. Do not deny Jesus as Lord. Live for the Lord. Live for the Lord in your conduct, in the way you behave, in your words. Live for the Lord. Moses chose, he came to a point, and everyone comes to a point in their life where they have to make a call. It's so uncomfortable being on the fence. Trust me, I know I was there. I was on the fence. When I was 17, 18, I was on the fence. It's an uncomfortable place to be. But at age 19, by the grace of God, I made a decision to follow the Lord and to follow Him with all that I am, as weak as I am, and as I fall short. But here we see there's a choice to be made. There's a system, and Moses chooses to be reproached. He chooses to be reproached. Now, we live in this system. There's nothing wrong with being educated. There's nothing wrong with having a good income. There's nothing wrong with having a house or a vehicle. But don't buy into the system. That's what the text is saying. Do not buy into this world and its system. Whatever you have, whatever you are, use it for God's glory. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things are passing away. Don't make them your focus. Don't make them an idol. Choose rather to go along with Christ. Choose rather to forsake that promotion, or to forsake something that's going to take your time away from God and His people. Forsake the dollar sign on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday nights or whenever it is, so you can be with God's people. Forsake the system of the world. Forsake it that drags your time away so that you can't spend time with husband and wife and with children in the Word and in fellowship with God. Put it aside. Put it aside. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from these things. Abstain from these things. Jesus said in John 6:27, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Labor not for that which perishes. And so Moses chose to forsake all of the pleasures and riches, all of the treasures, to go after the Hebrew God, the God of the universe. And doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense to the spiritual man or woman or child? Doesn't it make sense that those things which are passing away? He is no fool, wasn't it, the pilot? He is no fool who forsakes what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot's words. The man who forsook his life. He is no fool. He is no fool which doesn't buy into this system. He is no fool who seeks rather the treasures of heaven, the glories of eternity, to be with our God forever and ever, and to take someone with him. To take someone with him. And Moses had a calling. Yes, he had a special calling. But we all are called. We all are called. The Lord has set His seal on us as well. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do not fear. Do not fear. God will supply every need. He is your Father. Don't buy into the system of this world. Number three, Moses, he didn't fear man, he feared God. He didn't fear man, he feared God, just like his parents. His parents were not afraid of the king's command. And so we see, by God's grace in that godly lineage, we see he forsakes Egypt and he doesn't fear the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that speaks to me a lot. He rather feared him who is invisible than the one who is visible. The one who is the king of the kingdoms of this world. Friends, we have a God. We have a living God. If you have had a burning bush experience, if you have been born again, if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has said to you, take off your sandals, for the place you stand on is holy ground. Forsake your life, forsake your sin. You are coming to the living God. If you've had that experience, and if you have those experiences, when you come to the Word of God genuinely, with a sincere heart, and confess and forsake your sin, if you fear Him who is invisible, you will not fear Him who can touch the body. You will not fear Him who can take away your job. You will not fear man who might revile you or put you out of the group. You will not fear man when you fear the Lord. Remember the experience Jacob had when he wrestled with the angel. Now he was ready to face his brother Esau. Now, when he had wrestled with the angel, when he had met God, when he had met with God, when he had had an experience with God, he was able to face any man now. And so Moses doesn't fear the wrath of the king. He goes back to the king. After meeting with God, he goes back. After meeting with the great I Am. And he was not terrorized by the great I Am, but yes, he feared. You see his weakness as he comes? Lord, I cannot speak. You see his weakness is just a man. He's just a man. But he sees God and it changes him. And we are just people. We are just individuals. And yet we too can experience God. We can experience him in a deep way as we seek his face. Friends, when we meet for a Bible study, we're not coming to learn facts about God. We're not coming to learn mere facts. When you study the Bible, when you meet with people in a small group or in a church group, you're coming to meet with God. That's the difference. And there's a huge difference. There is a huge difference. Yes, learning facts about God can help, and it does help. But when you meet with God, everything changes. The way you live, where you put your money, where you put your time and energy, everything changes. It changes completely. It's not mere fact. It's reality. It's not just knowing the fact. It's the reality of experiencing the fact. I don't say that lightly, friends. We all need that burning bush experience so that we live in this world as not of it, so that we don't live in this world just to enjoy its pleasures and just to get ahead and just to make a comfortable living for our children. We come into this world to fear the living God and to give Him glory and to live for Him. And so this is faith. This was the faith of Moses. He didn't fear Him who was visible. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He feared the King of Kings. He feared the Lord of Hosts. He walked by faith, not by sight. You know, the rage of that king could have turned him off. But no, he goes back, fearing the one, although invisible, fearing the immortal, invisible God, only wise. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It couldn't be more plainer, friend. It could not be more plainer. The Lord brought up the children of Egypt, the children of Israel, from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm. And he taught them in the book of Kings, "Him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice." Friend, he is the one who deserves our awe and all of our fear. He is the one, the living God, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the one who deserves all worship, not the little gods of this world, not the little idols that are Egypt, but the God of the universe. He deserves all worship. And it says, "To him you shall offer sacrifice." Friends, there's so many Christians running around after the things of the world, running around, laboring for that which perishes. And friends, the Bible says, "To him you shall offer sacrifice, body, soul, and spirit." He deserves us. As we heard this morning, he deserves the reward from our life. As that slave who is pierced through the ear and says, "I am my master's and my master is mine." He deserves our worship and he deserves a sacrifice. If we meet with God, we will not fear man. We will not fear man. We will not be afraid to speak a word of testimony. Because in experiencing the living God, we will have the words of God in our mouth and in our heart, and we'll speak them. Paul said, I don't persuade men or God. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Are we bondservants? Are we those who have given ourselves up to the Lord to please Him? Or do we still seek to please man? To please man. Do not fear, Jesus said, those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. And that's very real for the persecuted church. But think of the context for us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what man will say to you. But fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We should awe and fear Him. And then by God's grace, win some. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, the Lord sustained Moses in the desert. He sustained him. You know, he cut himself off from the prosperity of the palace. And yet, in a desert place, the Lord provided all his needs. And so he can to us. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack to those who fear him, the psalmist said. He feared him who is invisible. He stood in awe of the one who was invisible, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Jesus said, blessed are you if you have not seen me and yet believe. Do we believe? That's a real faith. That's a real faith. A faith that knows. An experiential faith. A faith that sees him in his word and experiences a changed life through the word. And lastly, we read, and fourthly, he kept the Passover. He kept the Passover by faith. We see last time that Noah was obedient, even though there had never been a flood that covered the earth. By faith he builds the ark. And here we see Moses, not from a flood of water, but from this shadow and the power of death. We see the children of Israel meeting in the fear and in the awe of God at this last great sign he would show before he releases them. And so Moses kept the Passover by faith. What a picture. What an image. We see the Lamb is there. We see the people of God are there. And the people of God are meeting around a meal and breaking bread. What a sign. What a picture of fellowship. Outside there is the awe and dread of God's wrath. And that's true today. Those who are outside the faith, friends, we don't need to condemn them. They already stand condemned. They need Christ. They need the words of life. They need the gospel. They stand condemned already. Unless someone come to them. Unless someone speak to them. Unless someone show them the God of the Hebrews, the God of Moses, the God of the church today, the living God, not an ideal, not friends away, not a method, not a 7-step self-improvement program, but a meeting with the living God. And it's all of grace. But what a picture. The Lamb is there. What a dread. The angel of the Lord would pass by. No one dare be outside. In Exodus 12, verse 12, we read, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Do we believe that one day the line of Judah will execute judgment on all the idols of this world? He will. He will. He will come back and all Israel will mourn. They will see the one whom they have pierced. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And in verse 21 to 30, we read, Moses carries this out. Moses obeys. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith. By faith. I will pass through the land. And today, as we come tonight to the Lord's table in remembrance of Him, it's not just the table, friend. It's our whole life abiding in Him. It's not, and I thank God for the time we have in prayer to prepare ourselves before we come to this table. But we are to be prepared at all times. This is the point of the Passover. This is the point of keeping the Passover. It's not just once a month or twice a month or however often we may partake. It's abiding and living in the knowledge that the Lamb's blood has been shed for you and I. And how dare we sin against Him? How can we sin against Him? How can we live in a way contrary to Him after all He has done for us? And so the Lord's table is not just about a one-off, but it speaks to us of living by faith. So that at any time, at any day, we can be ready to share, to partake. That's the pure conscience before God. That's the life that we are to live, that abiding, having Him always in our mind and in our heart.